Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 39 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled King and Beggar. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Clash of Two Kingdoms. Listening to our conscience. As we start in the book of Proverbs today, we will, last week we took a strong look at our conscience, how God speaks to us through our conscience, and how that our conscience needs a, in all honesty, a level of maintenance, if you will. There's one thing of having a healthy conscience and not having a healthy conscience. I've lived in both and in constantly striving to have a healthy conscience. I like to begin these teachings with a little story, a little short story of wisdom. And as we're looking at the book of Proverbs, we're looking to find wisdom. I've taught you that in every crisis, that there's wisdom intertwined in the crisis, and we're looking for the wisdom. And I've also taught you that morality, wisdom comes under this banner of morality, and that morality, God is the total of all morality. God's moral. He does things right. And that's what morality means. It means that you do things right. And it lets us know in a fallen world that we can do things wrong. We can do things right and we can do things wrong. I know we're in a time now that right and wrong is, there's some people wanting to redefine it to a point that it's switching places. But we need to understand that there is, we believe in the cross of Christ. I believe in forgiveness. We all welcome forgiveness. But sometimes we can, in enjoying the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, we can neglect the idea that we can do things right. And the grace of God and forgiveness of God just allows us to have another run at it. Now, with our little story today, it's titled The King and the Beggar. Once upon a time, a country was ruled by a king who had no son to succeed to the throne. Since the king was getting old, he wanted to select a suitable successor to rule the country. The king sent out notices throughout his country. The notices invited every qualified young man in the country for an interview with the king. The outcome of the interview would decide a possible successor to his throne. The only qualification for the candidate was that that day that they should have immense love for their fellow human beings. Every young man across the country was very excited at the possibility of being the ruler of the country. A poor young man from a remote village also read the notice and started to prepare for an interview with the king. The man was a hardworking man, but he was very poor due to the various circumstances. The man had no good clothes to be presentable in the sight of the king. So the young man worked really hard and saved some money to buy him proper clothes and supplies to support him for a long journey to the palace. After he got his supplies and proper attire for the interview, the young man set out on his quest. He traveled many days and had almost completed the journey when he came upon a poor beggar by the side of the road. The poor beggar sat, trembling in the cold, convert only to tattered rags. The beggar extended his arms and pleaded for help. His weak voice croaked, "I am hungry and cold. Please help me, sir." The young man was so moved by the pathetic condition of the beggar that he immediately stripped his new attire and offered it to him. He also provided him with his very limited food he had carried for the journey. The beggar thanked the man 1,000 times, but since the man had given up his good clothes to the beggar, he was a bit hesitant to go for the interview. He, however, gathered enough courage to enter the palace of in his old dirty clothes. Upon his arrival at the palace, a king's attendant showed him the way to the great hall. After a short rest to clean off the journey's grime, the man was admitted to the throne room for the interview. The young man bowed low as the king entered the room. When he raised his eyes, he gasped in astonishment as he noticed that the king looked very similar to the beggar he had met on the way. The king saw the shock in the man's eye and said, "Yes, I was the beggar you met on your way. But why did you dress up like a beggar? You're a king." "Well, why did you do this to me?" the young man stammered after gaining some composure. "Because I had to be sure that you had a good heart and you genuinely love your fellow human being," said the king. "I knew that if I came to you like a king, you would have done anything that impressed me. But that way I would never have known what is truly in your heart. The generosity and love to the one in need without expecting anything in the sign of a great heart looking at your love. Generosity towards the beggar man proved that you sincerely love your fellow human beings. This country needs a leader who would work for the welfare of all the nation, not just ones who would offer and cater to the throne. You have proven that you are the right person to be my successor," promised the king. Then the righteous will answer him. It's the same scripture we had last week. "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you some drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers of mine, you did for me." Amen. And we see ourselves, I give you that little story because we see ourselves in life as, have you noticed how a lot of things in life seem like a huge inconvenience? And what this story lends us to question ourselves, could these little inconveniences be where the Lord wants us to serve the inconvenience? I dare say that I still fail there tremendously. And I, as I read this little story and picked it, I was personally convicted because it seems in these times and these days that we're in that there is so much agitation, there's so much everything that's like it's coming against being convenient. Has anybody noticed that, or am I the only one that has that particular disease? We can see that is the wisdom of the king. The wisdom of that king was to try the hearts of the people to find the true one that would follow him. So is our entire lives, God trying our hearts. I don't know if our hearts are to impress him as much as it is to be revealed to ourselves that we might truly have a sober look at ourselves and see where we are in our relationship to the king. I thought that story was so incredible and that it showed the king's wisdom was determined at how the young man served others. You know, we can say we love God and we love the Lord and we want to do all of these things and be a very spiritual person or whatever. And truly the most spiritual one is the one that's serving others that are in need. Now, as we move forward and understand this wisdom that the king has, it's a wisdom that doesn't work by my own reasoning. This is a spiritual wisdom, and hopefully that's the reason you're here this morning, is to look at the scriptures and to look at this and try to gain a spiritual wisdom and some understanding of spiritual wisdom that perhaps we did not already have. Now, we see here that wisdom lives on a higher moral plane. That is something, I give you that information, is something to consider. That wisdom lives on a high moral plane. So the way that I approach wisdom, the way I approach life, and if I'm wanting to find wisdom for the situations, then my attitude has to be on a high moral plane also. It is a level of dignity, character, existence, development, or like a high moral plane. This is a dictionary definition of a high moral plane. Now, here's a warning that comes. To find wisdom, it is not about what you are as much as it is about what you are not. Can you find the wisdom in that statement? To find wisdom, it is not about what you are as much as it is about what you are not. So we think in life what we are, what we accomplish, what we know, we think that that equals wisdom. But wisdom comes to us. If you're hopefully interested in the presence of God, we like to say that that's what we run after here at this church, is the presence of God and the presence of God in His people. But we see here that the finding wisdom, it's like this. Wisdom finds you. Thank you so much. Wisdom finds us more than we find wisdom. And so with this thought, to find wisdom, it is not about what you are as much as it is about what you are not. Now let's look at this verse. This is the verse that we use as kind of the main verse of this teaching. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And it just so happens that a lot of our activities, my activities, I'm probably operating more out of being a fool than not. And so that's the reason we do not want to be a fool about things or foolish about things, in operating in our own wisdom and in our own reasoning, and which is so easy for us to do than it is to inject the instruction from God. While not everyone accepts her, wisdom that is, wisdom is available to all. Wisdom is not limited to anybody according to the Scriptures. It can come to all of us. Now, the moral mindset, we've been over that for a couple of weeks now, and I'm just putting this slide in to bring our remembrance back to that. A moral mindset is how remembering our past actions drives our future behavior. Now, as we see this, and as we learned in the last few weeks, that what we are after is not to repeat our past. The negative things of our past. What we're after is not to repeat that, but we want to drive our past actions. We don't want them to drive our futures. Now, the way that happens is through, and I'm going to hopefully show us, has a lot to do with our attitudes. Has a lot to do with our attitudes. And I've also noticed in myself and in others in the last, 2 or 3 months or so, that the attitudes of people on the planet today, everybody's more on edge. Everybody's easily offended. Have you noticed that? We can talk about others being easily offended, but it's out here for all of us to touch and to be easily offended. That is the that's the going, if you want to be in vogue, as they say, or if you want the latest trend, you just learn how to be offended. And then that shows that you are somebody, because you can now stand up and declare to the world you have achieved being offended and you want everybody to know it. According to the scriptures, though, we want to be, it needs to be very hard for us to be offended. And so why is it that we want it to, in the last days, it says that many will be offended, right? But there's a reason, there's wisdom in not being easily offended. Probably greater wisdom in not being offended, but I've never achieved that. But there's great wisdom in learning to hold. Let the Holy Spirit say that we would hold how we feel in our offenses. Now, when a moral mindset is the governor, I don't know if I spelled all this right earlier this morning, but when a moral mindset is the governor of your life, your traveling will be smooth. We do Proverbs on Wednesday nights here. We get words and we put them together. When I write these little things, it's just like a little Proverbs. All it is, you get a thought, you get a few words, and you just put them together. When a moral mindset is a governor of your life, your traveling will be smooth. In other words, does everybody know what a set of governors is on an engine? A set of governors is what controls the speed of the engine, how fast. If you have a lawnmower and you give it more gas or less gas, you get into some heavy grass and all of a sudden it starts pulling stronger, the governors are kicking in. And so the governors to the engine is what keeps the engine from going wild and blowing up. It has on it what you call a set of governors. Well, it's the same idea as a governor of a state. A governor of a state is to govern the state. It's to keep everything from running wild and blowing up. It's the same idea. We have a set of governors. When a moral mindset is the governor of your life, traveling will be smooth. Now you say, well, Alan, how can you say that? I can say it right here. Moral character makes for smooth traveling. There it is in Proverbs. An evil life is a hard life. That's out of the translation of the Message. It says moral character makes for smooth traveling. I put it into my own proverb. When a moral mindset is the governor of your life, your traveling will be smooth. Now, Proverbs 1 and 2 tells us that the book of Proverbs was written in an order to help us have a better mental understanding of life. Now, believe it or not, it's when people are lacking in wisdom, there is more confusion. I have had the wonderful opportunity to speaking at times to a lot of confused people. They're in a place of confusion. And most of the time, the Holy Spirit can show you different things. And usually there's some incorrect thinking somewhere. There's some unhealthy thinking. A lot of times it's not moral thinking. And so when you have thinking that is not a moral mindset or moral thinking, then it tends to equal a lot of confusion, which is not healthy. It's not healthy mental health to have a lot of confusion. That's not to say we won't have things in life that aren't challenging, but have you had times in your life that's just like you have no answers, just everything in life's confused? And we're living in a time now that confusion is the atmosphere of everywhere you go. Went in the store the other day, and a lot of the shelves are just empty. Has anybody noticed that as you go around now? We have a lot of empty shelves. And talked to the guy that keeps the shelves full and all that. And he was just like, he was in a panic. I'm like, what's going on? It's like, we just can't get anything. We're just mass. He said, this and this that. He was just so confused in his life that his attitude was that of confusion. And the reason I'm bringing this up, in this day, in this time we're in right now, this type of confusion is rampant. Now listen to me. It lends and leads us into poor mental health. We have poor mental health. When you find yourself in a position of being offended easily, that's a sign of you're mentally not doing well. That's what it means. The cross of Christ is what gives us mental health. The cross of Christ brings resolution. Would you agree with me? It resolves. It brings resolution to problems of forgiveness. I mean, that's the greatest tool on the planet for a good mental health is forgiveness. And so our attitudes and how we think, if we're confused, not confused, has a lot to do with our mental condition. So Proverbs 1 and 2 tells us about this mental condition. It says, starts off in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Do you realize how packed that is? To know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom is to know God. God is wisdom. So when it says to know wisdom is to know God. What Solomon's doing throughout this book is I think I wrote it down on a slide this morning, but he's basically saying in the book of Proverbs, if you'll know God, if you'll seek to know God, your heart will follow. If you seek God, if you seek to know God, if you seek it, you see, wisdom is, I don't want you to separate wisdom from God. Wisdom, to not seek wisdom and say, I'm going to seek God, it's not possible. But it's hard to seek God, but it's not hard to seek wisdom. Wisdom is something we start reaching for because it's that part of God. To know wisdom is to know God. And instruction. If we know God, we'll get instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To perceive or to see. So when you seek after wisdom, it activates the prophetic eyes of seeing. Can somebody say amen? And so to know wisdom, know God, and instruction. So to know God means we're going to get instructions. Can somebody say amen? To know God means we're going to get some instructions. To perceive or to see the words of understanding. So I submit to you that what activates the prophetic eyes to see, when you see something, you're understanding what you're seeing. Did you know there's more to be seen in one view than you're seeing? Can you hear what I'm saying? In other words, you can go out in Walmart or I can look at this audience and I can see this audience, but I'm not seeing everything that's here to see. In other words, I have to focus on what color socks Trevor has. He has one red one, one blue one. That's nice. No, actually, he has two blue ones. You have to focus because I don't have this all seen. But if I'm with God and with His wisdom, through His instruction, it brings a perception. I can perceive. I can see. And through this, I will gain understanding. Now, you must have a good mental outlook in order to have a good moral outlook. That's the reason I brought up the mental stuff. Can you see that? You've got to have a good mental, in other words, to take care of your mental health is important, according to Proverbs. Because you have to have a good mental outlook in order to have a good moral outlook. So, how can I have a good mental outlook when I see the world today? Or I'll present to you this question. Can I have a good mental outlook when I perceive the world today and in the mess that it's in? Well, you would say it's hard. It's hard to do. But the truth is, I can have a healthy mental outlook. And if I do that, then I can have a healthy moral outlook. In other words, the greater I can have my enthusiasm, my anticipation of what God will do has everything to do with my mental health, my mental outlook. This is hard to explain. I hope you're getting more than I'm saying. Everything out there in the news and what's happening on the earth today is to break down our mental outlook on life. That's what it's designed to do. And it's doing a pretty good number in the last 2 years, greater than I've ever seen. The mental outlook of people today, it's going down the tubes fast. And when that happens, our moral seeing declines with it. Can anybody help me here? When your attitude is one of getting frustrated, aggravated, just ticked off if somebody drops a dime, you're not in a healthy mental state. When you are in an unhealthy mental state, your morality, how moral you are, drops. And so your activity in life with a dropped moral attitude will be immoral. Immoral meaning it's going to be the wrong decisions. Are you with me? I'm just showing you the path, the natural path, and how it ties to the spiritual path of wisdom. Natural path is just mental health. People do not even consider their mental health. Did you know that? People mainly go through life and do not even consider their mental health. In other words, they might eat right, but they do nothing for their mental health. Well, a lot of us don't even eat right, but much less the other. Yeah. What I'm wanting to bring to you this morning, based on the book of Proverbs, is that mental health is very important. Mental health is important to a moral outlook. That's what I'm saying. When you're sick in body, do you feel like doing anything? No. You feel terrible. You have no energy whatsoever. Well, let me submit to you something. When you are mentally sick, you do not feel like doing anything moral or being interpreted correctly or right. You just lose it. You're just like, well, what the heck? What the use? In other words, your morality or your ability to do the right thing drops with your mental health. So, how do you keep yourself mentally healthy? Well, sounds like to me, if I hang out with God, I bet you that my mental health's going to be better. Would anybody agree? Would anybody disagree? Now, if my mental health is better because I'm hanging with God, would it be fair to say my mental health's going to be worse if I don't? Yes. And did you know when you don't hang with God, your fallen nature tells you you're the smartest you've ever been? If you ever done, you got more opinions than you can get pinto beans at Walmart, right? We get so opinionated when we are not mentally healthy. I'm just not finding the words to say what I want to say. I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit is saying something to somebody. That's what I'm hoping for. Because the mental outlook, listen, I am excited about this day that we're living in. Part of me is depressed and part of me is excited. But I know that part of me that's depressed is just disconnected from God, that's all. That's right. Because my mental outlook improves as I'm connected with God. And as my mental outlook improves, my moral decisions are better, which means I'm making more correct decisions. That's what it means. And so in this life that we're living, it seems to me, as Christians, we need to make better decisions than anybody on the planet. I believe this, that we can make better decisions than anyone on the planet. I just want you to capture that your mental health is so important. Don't allow your mental health just to be on some automatic button somewhere that you do nothing about it. Because, see, if you're not careful, here's what you'll mistake. You'll mistake how you feel is who you are. You might make a huge mistake. Huge mistake. That how you feel is who you are. Does anybody believe there's demons out here today? Am I the only one? There are demons out here today. Demons. Demons, demons, demons. Did I say demons? And they're big ones. And they're wanting to influence you and me. And they will influence you and me. That's right. They want to influence us. How do they do that? They break us down so mentally, we're very unhealthy. We pray for healing of cancers and everything else, and we need to pray for the mental health of God's people so that we can make moral decisions and have right answers. Solomon's main theme throughout the book is if you focus your mind on God, your heart will follow. Can you see that? Because it's complicated. You say, well, Alan, all this sounds good. How do I do it? How in the world can I get there? There it is. Solomon's main thing throughout this book of Proverbs is that if you'll focus your mind on God, your heart will follow with it. Now, Solomon uses his Proverbs to help us make the right moral decisions. There again, Solomon's main theme throughout the book is if you focus your mind, then on top I said you must have good mental outlook. Throughout the book, if you focus your mind on God, your heart, there's your heart. That's where the moral outlook comes from. So mind is mental, heart is moral. If you'll focus your mind on Christ, on God, your heart will follow. And by your heart following, then you'll make right moral decisions. Seems a little complicated, I know, but I hope you're getting that. It is just so important that you get that. What I've taught you right here in 15 minutes is the key to healthy Christian living. It's the key to healthy Christian living. You've got to have a healthy mental. Mentally, you must be healthy. And as we're mentally healthy, then we can have a moral mind. And as we have this moral mind, now there's a reason I think we need to have a healthy mental state and a healthy mind. There's a reason, and a healthy heart. Fools fail to discover wisdom because they reject its starting point. Are you with me now? I'm going to move a little quicker. Fools fail to discover wisdom because they reject its starting point. The receptive attitude is, now, work with me. Keep in mind, healthy mental attitude. Fools, the reason I use the word fools is that's what Solomon uses. And we're taking it that he has wisdom. So if you're not following God, he calls you a fool. If you're offended, don't counsel me or awoke me or something. Fools fail to discover wisdom because they reject its starting point. A receptive attitude is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear meaning respect. Respect is gone, thrown out the window this day and time. I don't know where it went, but somebody stole it and took it all with them. To respect God, to fear God, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, a receptive attitude is what this verse is telling us if we're going to have wisdom, which is God. The attitude precedes the receiving. Can you see that? The attitude precedes the receiving. Wisdom's not like being convicted of sin. When we're convicted of sin, it's like we're in a debate with God till all of a sudden God wins, it breaks my heart, and I repent. Wisdom doesn't work like that. Wisdom is the relational part of God. The attitude precedes the receiving of wisdom. Now remember, wisdom is God. It's that part of God. So the attitude precedes the receiving in the relationship with God, and that is wisdom. Now, true godly wisdom is never detached from morality. The integrity of the upright guides them. But the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. So we can see here that the integrity guides. 1 Corinthians says this, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Just the truth. Now let's look at this one. Your conscience is the instrument of character. We talked about this a little last week. To bear witness to truth, I talked to you about having a healthy conscience. I went over three types of conscience. You can go back and see that last week if you'd like to see it. Three types of conscience. So your conscience is that instrument or the character that bears witness to truth. And here's the scripture, Romans 12:2-15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, your conscience bears witness to the truth. That's what it's saying. So our conscience is something we want healthy. We want a healthy conscience. We want to have a healthy mental attitude. We want to have a healthy mental outlook on life. You can say, well, Alan, I do. Well, if you're complaining and poor mouthing all the time, you do not have a healthy outlook on life. I'm just sorry. You don't. Has anybody read the last of the book? We win. God wins. God's on the throne. Everything that's happening today, the enemy's been doing for a long time. He's got about five or six plays, and he runs them over and over and over and over. He's not that smart. He's persistent. Can somebody hear me? He's very persistent. Now, as we see this happening, we have our conscience and we have our healthy mental state. Challenges to a healthy conscience. A healthy conscience brings peace, not torment. The purpose of a conscience is to guide us into to do the right thing. There again, do you see that? How do you know if your conscience is healthy? How do you know? It brings you peace, not torment. Has anybody had your conscience just condemning you all the time? It's your conscience, but it's condemning you, right? That's not a healthy conscience, right? That is an unhealthy conscience. It sounds and feels like a gentle course of correction. That's what a healthy conscience is. A healthy conscience under a healthy mental attitude that has a healthy outlook on life. A healthy conscience. How do you know your conscience is healthy? It sounds and feels like a gentle course correction. Are you with me? It's not something in your head that's condemning you all day long. That's not a healthy conscience. Romans 8 says it like this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There is now therefore no condemnation. Now, can you see how your conscience can be healthy and not healthy? An unhealthy conscience comes from an unhealthy mental state. And it causes our moral part of wisdom not to be in peak operation level. Oh, mercy, just got a few minutes here. Therefore, the conscience is the place we hear the voice of God. God is speaking to us, guiding us to do the right thing in each situation. Now, give a true answer. Why do we want to have a healthy mental state, a good attitude on life, good morality? In other words, I hope you're connecting the dots of morality is doing the right thing and having the right answer, all right? Two things here. Morality means you're doing the right thing, but also you can give the right answer. That is so important for people to come to Christians to get the right answer. Here we go. Proverbs. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your what? On your lips. It says, hear the words of the wise. Give a true answer. That your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today, even to you. I have not written for you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge. Have I not written to you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge to make you know what is right and true, that you may give a true answer to those who sent you. I hope you're getting this thing. The book of Proverbs is about wisdom, and this wisdom is about God. It's about a relationship with God, that my attitude is proper, that I have a high moral plane, and I'm wanting you to associate morality. See, if you're being immoral in your life, that's a bad decision. Can anybody give me an amen? I'll give you $5. Now, oh boy, it just went up. $10, or I get louder. There you go. We're living in a day and a time that the church of God is needing to give the right answers. We're floundering. We're wanting to compromise. Well, this might be all right. We're wanting to compromise the truth of God. We're not giving a true. There's one thing to have right answers, another to have a true answer. Amen? Right, look at it. We are to give a true answer to our nation. You're a little slower there than I wanted you to be. $15. We are to give a true answer to our nation. The church is put here to be the salt of the earth, to give a true answer. I'm telling you, we're unhealthy mentally. We're unhealthy morally. We're unhealthy in our attitudes. And we're wondering why we're so confused. We're wondering why we don't have a true answer. Are you with me? The book of Proverbs shows us what to do about it. We are to give a true answer to our nation. It's in Proverbs 28. I did the New Living Translation here. When there is moral rot within a nation, its government topples easily. But wise and knowledgeable leaders bring stability. Need I say any more? What, you don't have to be a big prophet. What's going to happen to our nation if we continue down this immoral path? It is going to topple. That's what's going to happen. Now, somebody's supposed to have a true answer and say that out loud. A lot of Christians today are fussing because some people are saying it out loud. Well, no, now that's not being Christian. We need to learn how to get along. It's not about getting along. I can get along, but I'm going to have a true answer. Now, you might not get along with my true answer, but I can get along with you. Right? It's important for the church to grab hold of the truth that we are to give the world a true answer. You know, some people don't want to offend some people. I understand that. I don't want to offend people. That's not my goal. But I got to give you the right answer. I got to give you a true answer of what God's Word says. Now let's see what else comes up here. Our speech is inseparable from our character. You might say, time out. There's not time out. Our speech is inseparable from our character. Our speech will tell us about our healthy attitude or our healthy mental state or not. Your speech will tell you. I'm telling you how to do a self-diagnosis. The following Proverbs links type of people to types of speech. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. You see that? But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. It says, the heart of the wise studieth to answer. Now, I'll say this because he's not here. Our pastor's not here. Our pastor is usually slow to answer. I've seen him fast a time or two, and he was loud, too. But normally, he studies, and I appreciate that in him. You can call it slow, but he's studying what he's going to say. But that's what this proverb is saying here. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil. It is 10:31. I've overwent my time by 1 minute. Honestly, I didn't get anywhere I wanted to today. But if time tarries and you would like to hear any more, come back next week. And we'll pick up here about our speech, about the mental health, about the morality. What I'm trying to help us to do is to be a prophetic people that truly hear God. Is that okay? Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day. We do ask and pray, oh God, that if there's anything that I've said that's not of you, I ask and pray, oh God, that it would fall to the ground. But Lord Jesus, if anything that I've said is of you and of your Spirit, I ask and pray that it would be quickened to our hearts. Dear God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would have good mental health. Everyone watching online, in this building, I pray, oh God, for good mental health, good healthy mental health, good healthy attitudes. good, healthy attitudes. Help us to perceive, O God, reality and truth. I pray, O God, that this church would be a church of people that could be equipped in a healthy attitude, healthy mental state, healthy morality, that we could be equipped in such a way that we could give a true answer to a lost and dying world. Anoint us to give a true answer. Anointed, O God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.